This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Scotty, are you ready?
Curdy B, I'm ready to laugh and laugh and laugh.
And I'm pretty sure you know what story I'm doing.
There's a couple. I saw a couple, but hit me with it. You always surprise and delight me.
Behold the Falcon sex hat, a species-saving hump helmet.
You chose it because you saw me reply to that DM. This is a perfect Kurt story.
I mean, like, even if you hadn't said it, I would have been like, this is, I gotta do this one.
Oh God, it's so good. Well, let's just get right into a little bird humping on a very lovely episode of Bananas.
Guys, gals, non-binary pals, welcome to Bananas, the most sophisticated podcast you'll ever hear in your life.
It's educational, it heals old wounds,
and you're going to learn a lot about stuff that is useful in real life.
Absolutely. That over there is one of the great comics of the modern times, Kurt Brownoler, my buddy.
Sitting across from me is Banana Boy number two that he named himself.
True.
The delightful and fantastic screenwriter, Scotty Landis.
Hey, buddy. We're doing a morning recording, which is rare for us, but mm-hmm. I kind of like it. I'm energized.
I like the energy because it's a different than a 3 p.m. energy. I'm feeling good.
And any announcements before we bring on our guest who's so obsessed with the podcast, she's listened to every single episode?
Portland. April 19th. Portland. Why? Buy some tickets, Portland. It's at the Old Church on April 19th.
Yeah, it looks
we
cool.
want to see you there. I love Portland. Portland's always a wonderful town for us. And I can't
Seattle
wait to see you
there.
Seattle
sold out in 2 days. So, Portland, you are looking like a monkey's butt compared to Seattle. Let's get you out there.
Look, I don't want to do a Seattle versus Portland, okay? But if we have to do a Seattle versus Portland, we'll do it. Mm-hmm. And right now, Portland's losing by a lot.
Big time.
Get it together. All right. Folks, I'm so excited about our guest.
Me too.
Today. Our guest today is a phenomenal stand-up comedian, mm-hmm. actor, and writer. You can see her in the films Crush, currently on Hulu, and Animal mm-hmm. High. And she has a brand new digital series on Patreon right now called Pretty Gay. Please welcome Catherine McCafferty.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me. I am a huge fan, and I do sound like a giant nerd.
Nope. We build each other up. This whole podcast is just about gassing each other up. So thank you. We're so flattered that you listen to Bananas.
No gaslighting, gassing upping. That's what our tagline is, and it needs a lot of work.
So, Pretty Gay. Tell us about Pretty Gay.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're releasing it today, but I know that I know how podcasts work. So
it'll
this
be out
won't.
Tuesday.
Yeah.
But
it's right now, it's Valentine's Day, February 14th. That's when Pretty Gay comes out. This will be out February like 20th or something. So
sure.
Yeah. So I go on gay dates with queer comedians, and it's kind of like an interview style, nice. Like game show type thing. Yeah. And
there's also a game show element.
Well, I said that, and then I kind of wanted to put it right back in my mouth. I do give them a present at the end, but they don't have to win anything or get anything correct. It's really just about me tricking a bunch of cuties to go on dates.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
And so they're not aware, or they are aware?
No,
they know they're coming.
Yeah, okay. We sent them an email, you know. So they agreed. They signed a release.
It would be a much different show if it was a surprise interview on a date show.
It really
is. This is a date.
Honestly, I have been on dates like that where we neither of us know if it's a date or not, and we just keep trying to figure it out, you know?
You might as well say it. There does come a point too early. Yeah, especially like when I moved out to LA and was meeting with a lot of TV executives and stuff, like taking general meetings. Sometimes I would be like, do you just want to get drinks instead of meet in an office or watch each other eat salads? And I would always be like, do you want to get work drinks? And every time it was a woman executive, she'd be like, thank you for saying that. I've been on like 10 meetings that were sitting across from each other going like, is this guy flirting with me? Is this a date? It's always sort of a blurry line.
Yeah, it is. It's a huge blurry line. And I like to really call it out and just say like, are we going to kiss?
Yeah. Are we getting kissing? Are we getting kissing drinks?
Are we going to smooch on the mouth? Yeah. And sometimes that really turns out in your favor, and then you do get kissed, and then sometimes not so much. Mm-hmm. And then you just have to be there. And then
you're just
loss.
Okay.
Who is on Pretty Gay? Who are some of your guests?
We have Anna Garcia. We have Hannah Pilkus, who has done the podcast.
Oh, yes. Yeah, we love her. She did the live show in Brooklyn.
Yes. She's on. We have Sarah Schauer. We have Yasmin Monet Watkins. We have a lot of
that's great.
I'm excited.
Oh, yeah. Everybody go check out Pretty Gay. How do they? It's on Patreon. So is it on your Patreon, or how does it work?
Yeah. If you look up Pretty Gay on Patreon, it should pop up, or you can, you know, follow me on the old social media, and we'll be releasing a bunch of clips for free. So if you're like, I don't have $5, that's okay.
You can watch it for free.
That's fine. You can watch some of it for free. My business partners are like, you are crushing it.
marketing major in college. We can feel it. She is selling it hard.
All right.
I had Kurt. So we're doing a 10 a.m. recording today, but I was up in Adam. I had something happen today. I was looking for a suit. I was looking for one of my suits and I couldn't find it. And I was like, I wonder if I left it last year at the dry cleaner.
Uh-huh.
So I drove to the dry cleaner and was like, hey, did I leave a suit here? And she's like, what's your phone number? So I put it in and she's like, no, you didn't. And I was like, does this happen a lot? Do people just come in and say, do I have anything here? And she goes, yeah, too much, which is a very funny thing to say to a customer that's been going there for 10 years. So then I was driving home without this suit, which I later found in my closet. And I was like, is there a law or a rule of how long? Cause I thought for a moment, like maybe I left it in there for 3 months and they were like, see ya, and goes to Goodwill. And it turns out there are laws.
Yeah, of how long they have to hold on to it for before they give it away.
Do you think it is in California before they can donate it or get rid of it?
I think it's going to be 6 months.
Catherine?
Oh, I was going to say 6 months, but you can't say the same answer. So nine months.
A baby length. Yep. A baby length. Yeah. A gestation of a human child.
Birth it into the dumpster out back. No, it's 90 days in California. That's pretty quick.
That's fast.
And then, Catherine, do you live in New York or L.A.?
L.A.
Or both?
Well, yeah, sure, both. No.
Very.
I'm on a lease in New York. Not to brag.
New York and New Jersey, 6 months.
Oh, there we go. Okay.
There we go. See, a little more reasonable.
It's an educational podcast. We teach all the time. But most of the, most states in the middle of the country, no laws at all. No rules. It's just between you and your dry cleaner.
Oh, so the dry cleaner could just be like, you wait 2 weeks and they're just like, we donated it.
Or what if they keep it?
10 years. Yeah.
They could just keep it then.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I like that idea.
And
you
wear
just
it.
See your dry cleaner wearing your suit or your dress out on the town. You're like, hey, it's been 12 days.
Exactly. Sounds like a Seinfeld episode, folks. Let's write it up.
There we go.
They still taking pictures on those?
Yes, they are. So.
All right. Are you ready for this?
Yeah. Hawk helmet.
Are you guys ready to learn?
It's an educational podcast.
It's an educational podcast.
Love this rebrand.
Yeah.
This is. We're going to get this into schools. Kids need to hear this show.
Yeah. I'll hold iguana.
This was sent in by Catherine Suave from the Daily Ciabatta. Thank you, Catherine. Mm. Again, this was on Earth Touch News. Earth Touch News is
sounds
a weird
real.
Name.
Sounds
it's,
real.
It's just a little pervy for the Earth. Earth Touch.
Yeah.
This sure. was written by Sarah Kirtez.
Ooh.
Mm. A lot of people damn. Say it, Scotty.
She is the best in the bird biz.
Behold the falcon sex hat, a species-saving hump helmet. This is from 2016, and I am shocked, shocked that it has taken 7 years for this to get to us.
Yeah.
Eight
me too.
Years. 8 years. For conservation biologists, a day at the office might mean milking a mole rat, tickling wombat genitals, or lending a helping hand to masturbating macaques.
Great writing.
It is great, especially macaques. It sounds like macaques. It's
yes,
great.
It do. Yes, it do.
And with the popularity of Twitter trends like junk off, what Twitter trend is that? 2016. You have to remember, it's 2016. Oh, right, the world is a different
junk
place.
Junk off was big then, yeah.
Yeah. This is June 2016. This is, or oh no, it's March. Okay. So this is before the election. Oh no, wait, the election was 2015.
Nope.
Whatever. Okay. So we all know that it's coming.
Yeah.
The golden age of virility has brought animal sex and the characters who study it into the spotlight.
Okay.
And we thought we'd seen it all. We were wrong. We were so gloriously wrong. Come on. Sarah Kirtez, killing it. It is with great pleasure that we bring you this. The falcon sex hat.
God, that's good.
The original headgear invented by falconer Les Boyd in the early 1970s.
Great name.
Serves.
Great
and
name.
Great name, Les great name. Boyd.
Yeah, I want to know what that middle name is.
It's Ian. Bean.
Is it Ian? Is it Ian?
Lesian. Lesian Boyd. serves as a sperm collection device that allows captive birds to mate with their keepers. It sounds outlandish, but the simple accessory has been instrumental in the recovery of numerous species, including one of North America's flying darlings, the peregrine falcon. Yes,
love it.
We brought a species back from the brink of extinction by letting its members hump our love helmets. This is amazing.
That's
great. The collection process is quite simple. Add one frisky bird, one rubber receptacle, and one keeper who is well-versed in the art of falcon sex song. Then there's a video that you can watch. And the video is entitled How to Artificially Inseminate a Falcon. There is a still from it where it's a guy wearing this helmet. The helmet looks like... How would I describe it? Or almost like a peanut, like a half a peanut shell, because it's got indentations like a peanut shell has, you know?
Yeah, we know what those are for, yes.
It's for birds to fuck, I guess. And he's whistling, and then there's a peregrine falcon, I guess, humping. But, you know, bird humping looks a lot like just birds standing and flapping their wings.
I thought peregrine falcons were the birds that fell from the sky while they were... making a moray. I thought they like went really high and started having sex and then just fell like for a mile.
Oh, I don't know, but they are the fastest birds. They can like dive bomb at over 200
thank
miles
you.
An hour.
Yeah.
All you can hope for is that your sex partner doesn't come in too hot. Peregrines can have been clocked in at astonishing 200 miles per hour in a straight dive. Learning to mimic falcons' vocalizations is the most direct approach in accomplishing cooperative artificial insemination,
incredible.
Explains Boyd,
incredible.
Who invented the cap after the widespread use of the pesticide DDT saw peregrines all but disappear in the United States. This guy's a hero.
He's a hero.
Giants. It can do so yeah. much.
It can do so much. I mean, the first bird I hatched using it was in 1975, he says. Not me. This is Boyd. But I'm starting but I started years before. Early versions of the hat needed to be chin strapped down tight before the male landed on it. Actually, one of the simplest ways to get the male to copulate was on the back of one's hand. I don't understand why it's got to be on a person.
Right.
Yeah.
Can't it just be on a table? And then you do all the mouth stuff to call them in?
Yeah, like a bird robot, kind of like you. Even if you're like, it's a puppet that you're like doing, but I don't know. I guess they need the heat from your head. I don't know.
I would buy that if they were like, it's the heat. Definitely not because we want to fuck birds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I used to just do it on my hand, but that wasn't enough. So I moved it right to the top of my head where I have a bird's eye view of what's going on. Awful.
This is interesting. Okay, so this is why it is. Okay.
Here we go.
Birds gain a, quote, sense of species by visually imprinting on their parents during early development. Mm-hmm. So when a young falcon comes out of its egg, it becomes attached to the first moving object it encounters. In most cases, this would be its mother. But studies have shown the birds will form the critical social bond with just about everything from rubber boots to electric trains.
All right, a little freaky.
Great example.
Okay. Two random examples.
No, they have links. They have links.
A beach ball or a surfboard.
Both of those are articles you can link to, and I can't even. I don't have time to. I can't get that much into falcon fucking.
You have children.
Yeah. I have other things to do with my life. It is through this process that a captive falcon comes to regard a hairless bipedal primate as its mother and eventually as an attractive mate because it's a sense of species. So that peregrine falcon thinks it's a bald head.
Oh, boy.
Oh, beautiful.
Brought him back from the brink, though. We got to applaud Les Boyd. I mean, it's incredible.
Les Boyd is one of the heroes. I would say, let's say Les Boyd is banana of the week. I'm going to give it to him.
The honor.
Thank you, Les. What an honor.
Yeah.
Oh, have you ever been to a bird sanctuary?
Can't say
fishing for stories.
No, but I have not done that. I will say
you
that
should.
I was a very sensitive child, and I realized somebody told me, probably my brother, because he was older and wanted to make me cry, that the dodo bird was extinct. And I just decided that was the worst thing on the entire planet. And my parents were divorced, and my dad had none of the tools to comfort a 6-year-old who was just so distraught that the dodo bird was extinct. When previously I didn't even know that the dodo bird existed.
That's right. I am currently dealing with a very emotional 6-year-old. And it is true. Sometimes I don't know when she's overwhelmed with things. I'm just like, okay, this is real for, like, I just keep having to remind myself, like, this is real for her.
Right.
This is real for her.
Yeah, feels like the end of the world.
The world. It is over.
Yeah.
And it's just like, all right, we got to get down. How can I lock into this feeling?
Lie. Just big lies. I mean, this isn't a lie, Catherine, but they're bringing the dodo back.
Whoa.
This year. So you made it. I'm glad you stuck around to see this coming around, but they're bringing the dodo back.
Cool. With that helmet?
Yep.
Yeah. I'm bringing it back. Also, if anybody has one of these helmets, just for any reason, if your partner has it and does this, just send us a photo.
Please.
We need to see a bananimal wearing this helmet more than anything ever in the history of time.
I mean, like, that would be the most insane merch to have, would be a bananas-themed falcon fuck helmet. Oh, my God. Let's
make some. Season two of Pretty Gay. Catherine wears a falcon fuck helmet when she tricks people into a game show where she dates them and asks for kisses.
I love just throwing it's a game show in there. I love it.
This show is so problematic.
Sounds cool to me. I had parakeets twice, or budgies as some people call them, and I always thought they were fine. I thought they were like the most medium pet you could ever have, like very cute, very pretty, kind of annoying. And then whenever you were sick of them, you would just drape a pillowcase over the cage to shut them up. Like, what? Why do humans have such strange solutions with birds specifically?
But why do we want to possess birds? Like, I don't really get that because that makes me sad. Put them outside. I have a mental breakdown in front of you right now.
That's fine.
I'm suddenly
sick. There are two red macaws that live in Griffith Park that I have seen in palm trees that somebody must have let go or something at any point. And I saw these two women once standing on the trail just staring off, and I thought they were having like a reflective moment. Like, oh, isn't nature so wonderful? And I was like, hello. And they're like, there's parrots. And I was like, there are parrots. And then I realized they were looking at parrots. But I just thought English was their second language also. So I won't do the accent, but they said, there's parrots. And I said,
why won't you do the accent?
No, because this podcast doesn't co-opt anything.
They said, they were like, there are parrots.
Yes.
He didn't want to do the Italian accent.
Yes, too. And then I looked and there were two gigantic red parrots in a palm tree. And it was amazing. It made me feel very happy.
Oh, wow. There was a store that used to be right down the street from where I lived.
The best.
Called Pampered Birds.
The best.
And Pampered Birds, it was right on, it's right in Atwater Village, yeah. Right on Glendale.
Next to a burrito shop.
Now it is a very fancy and kind of pretty delightful home decor store.
It's gorgeous.
They have really good stuff, but nothing I can afford.
Of course not.
They're like, here's a redwood tree we cut down to make a coffee table.
You need an old rickety ladder made out of sticks for $800 that you couldn't do anything.
There is that. Yeah. What is that? That is like a trend.
You put blankets on it.
You put blankets on like a rickety,
Yeah, one of my exes was like very fancy. And so I learned from them what people use these objects for.
You want a $1,000 rickety ladder you can't climb on?
It's for your hand towels.
Oh, sure.
Cool.
Sure.
But so this place, Pampered Birds, full, huge glass. And it was like it was beautiful because it was like a domed glass window. Yeah. And just there, like not in cages, were probably, I don't know, eight?
Yeah. A lot of parrots.
Parrots that were like the size of a toddler. They were like gigantic, and they would just sit there. And there was, and then at a certain point, because the neighborhood just started filling up with families with children, they just eventually locked the front door. And
they did.
And that was like the end of the store. They locked the front door, and you could only like get in by like ringing a bell. And they were like, "You're coming in here to buy bird seed," and you have to be like, "Yes," because otherwise, kids were like just coming in and banging on it. And that was the beginning of the end of Pampered Birds.
Pampered Birds. But animals, whether you're just starting your wellness journey or you're looking to build up what you already know, Audible is here to help. With a wide range of wellness and well-being content, Audible is sure to have something for you, no matter where you're at on your journey.
Audible helps you get closer to voices that can change your perspective and enhance your life all in one easy-to-use app. Audible members can keep one title a month from the whole catalog.
Sure.
And with the Audible app, you can listen anytime and anywhere.
I'm actually listening to something for my mental health journey. It's called 21 Days of Meditation. It's free on Audible. It's 21 separate episodes. I'm 6 days in. It's so nice to relax and meditate.
I listened to, there's a new Murderbot book out by Martha Wells, if you love the Murderbot series, which is just fun. If you want to have fun, listen to a Murderbot story by Martha Wells, and I listen on Audible. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/bananas or text bananas to 500-500. That's audible.com/bananas or text bananas to 500-500 to try Audible free for 30 days. audible.com/bananas.
Bananas.
Give me one, Scotty.
I would love to. Yeah, I'll do another positive one. I feel like this is a very positive episode.
I mean, we're learning.
Baby found alive in tree after being sucked up into a tornado.
No. What the?
Good headline.
Oh, my God.
Good headline.
This is a good episode.
This is, of course it is. We're secretly on a game show. Kristen Fortman sent this in.
We're all on a date.
You sent this in. Yeah, we're all on a date. I'm gay now, which is fine, honestly.
And that's how that works. You become gay, and then we date.
Fantastic. Christy Fortman sent this in a couple months ago. Thank you, Christy. Baby found alive in tree after being sucked up into a tornado on BBC News. That one's pretty real. Written by best in the natural disaster baby biz, Chloe Kim.
Oh, Chloe, thank you.
So, Curdy, you've had children, so you know how small a four-month-old baby is. A four-month-old baby was found alive after the child was sucked up into a tornado in Tennessee.
Oh, my
God. They have none of the skills to survive.
No, just aerodynamic.
Yeah. Like a little, like it's larger than a football, but it's not much larger than a football. Maybe, football and a burrito put together.
Yeah, football holding a burrito.
Yeah,
that makes that's what it's
That's a baby.
That's a baby. The couple said a deadly tornado tore apart their mobile home, picking up a bassinet with the baby still inside of it.
Oh my God, they were inside.
Yeah.
I mean, like you.
Yeah,
think
they didn't
you're
throw
safe.
This baby. Yeah, they.
They weren't were running inside. With the baby.
They weren't trying to get rid of the baby.
Whoa! He survived and was discovered in a fallen tree in the pouring rain. The baby and his one-year-old brother and parents only suffered minor cuts and bruises.
Oh my God! Thank God!
Incredible. As the tornado approached, the mother of two, 22-year-old Sydney Moore, said the roof of their mobile home ripped off. I mean,
so
pure
scary.
Horror movie.
Yeah.
Twisters coming out in the theater soon with the guy with the face. The tip of the tornado came down and picked up the bassinet with my baby. No. Okay, so this part is confusing. I had to read it like 10 times. The baby's name is Lord. Okay, L-O-R-D. Lord.
Lord, and that's why it was saved.
Bingo.
But that is, thank you.
Bingo.
That is a bold name.
I read this so many times and I'm like, what is happening? So the tip of the tornado came down and picked up the bassinet with my baby Lord in it.
And the one-year-old's name is Supreme Commander. This is Lord. This is Supreme Commander.
Kurt, you're not too far off. Miss Moore grabbed her one-year-old son, Princeton. Princeton and Lord. So one's going Ivy League and one's going straight to those pearly gates. But not yet. He was the first thing to go up, she said, about the bassinet. So like it rips the roof off and the first thing to fly out of their mobile home was their four-month-old Lord in
That's
a bassinet.
Terrifying.
Dude, it is so crazy. Her boyfriend and the boy's father lunged to protect Lord in the bassinet, but ended up getting picked up by the tornado too.
Oh my God. And he was okay too?
He was, just minor cuts and bruises. He was holding onto the bassinet the whole time and they went into circles, she said, and then they got thrown, Miss Moore said. As it was happening, Miss Moore grabbed her one-year-old son, Princeton. Something told me just to jump and run on, to run and jump on top of my son, Miss Moore said. Mm-hmm. Literally, the moment I jumped on him, the walls collapsed around us. I was being crushed. I couldn't breathe. I mean, power mom, too. Dear God.
Wow.
After the tornado passed, Miss Moore was able to escape the crush of the rubble with Princeton. She and her boyfriend immediately started searching for Lord. After looking for their baby in the pouring rain, they found the child alive in what Miss Moore says it looked like a little tree cradle.
Wow.
So the baby landed in a tree branches that were just holding it. I thought he was dead, Miss Moore said. I was pretty sure he was dead and we weren't going to find him. But there he is, and that's by the grace of God.
Wow.
You know,
that
even
is...
if you're not religious,
uh-huh.
that one, it makes you wonder. Well, I guess it makes you wonder why the tornado hit the house in the first place.
No.
It proves
now you're
point.
Asking too many questions, honey. That's not how that works.
But maybe it was just like proving a point. Like,
exactly.
I can do this to you at any point.
Yeah.
But also, I'm a good one.
That's what God does, proves points. Yeah.
It's not great. That it's just random on both ends. It's not that.
The great neuron in the sky has a plan for all of us. The children and Miss Moore escaped with only, again, minor cuts and bruises, but the boyfriend suffered a broken arm and shoulder. Caitlin more so, I was wrong, Kurt, he had a broken arm and shoulder.
Okay.
Which makes more sense when you're spinning around the room holding onto a bassinet in a trailer park.
I mean, like, awesome move on his part as well.
Power dad.
Yeah.
God, these are two powerful people. According to their GoFundMe, which I'll look up. I don't know if it still exists. This is about 2 months old. Lord looked like he was placed gently in a tree, as if an angel guided him to safety in okay. that spot. Okay. I will die for my kids. That's not even a question. And my boyfriend would do the same thing, Miss Moore said.
Yes.
Pretty wild.
That is amazing.
Whoa.
Good ending.
I think about earthquakes a lot for some reason. I'm always thinking, what if an earthquake hit right now? And I'm always like, I can't in my mind figure out if it's better for me to like do all fours over my kids.
Yeah.
Because I worry then if something comes down on my back that then I'll like crush them, or like to like get them on my side. So if something comes down, it could kill me, but then maybe I would make like a wall for their body. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So those are the things I think about.
I think it's the second one though, right? I'm constantly thinking about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have children, but
have you? But I'm constantly wanting to save them. LA earthquake? Yes. And birds, everything. You're a very sensitive adult. Did you feel any of the most recent earthquakes? There was a 4.7 last week.
Yeah, I was I was in the kitchen of a house that I work in, and there was a cat in the kitchen, and I was just like doing whatever, and then the cat looked at me weird, and I was like, maybe there was an earthquake. But I didn't feel it. The cat, like, yeah, me and the cat just had a moment, and then somebody texted me, and I was like, I was standing, and I didn't feel it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you feel it, Scotty?
I didn't, but I felt a bunch of them before. And the weirdest thing, or I don't know what the word is, the dumbest thing about earthquakes is a lot of times they only last about 3 seconds or so. And it usually takes you 3 seconds to figure out what's going on. So usually by the time you figure out an earthquake is happening, it's over. So like your prep, like I have so many fantasies in my head of what to do. The one that hit on July 5th a few years ago was pretty good. And my cabin was like really rocking back and forth. And I remember I like got down and I crawled under like a breakfast counter. But I realized I had plugged my phone in before I did that. Like I had taken the time to plug my phone in before I ran for shelter.
That's really funny.
So I guess my
get some texts.
Yeah, I might get some hot ass DMs. I better. No, but it was they're pretty wild. But every other one, I go, was that an earthquake? And then it's already over.
Oh man, yeah. This one, I did not. I was in a precarious situation. Actually, We had hiked down. We were like, I was trying to get to a new campsite. Shut up, Scott.
Well, I was like, I'm picturing you like on a unicycle with a wheelbarrow full of light bulbs and a kazoo. And I'm like, yeah, that could be bad. That could be bad. But hiking is bad. That's also bad.
We were hiking down. We're trying to get to this new campsite to see if it was like a good place for us to backpack to. It was me and Derek Brown. And it was like so many river crossings, and the river was really high because it was like 2 days after that like 2,000 year storms or whatever.
Yeah.
And so we were kept going back and forth across this river, and it was like very exhausting. So it was like three and a half miles of going back and forth across the river like 36 times. So then we find ourselves in a like canyon with raging river in between us and 80-foot tall, just sheer granite cliffs on either side.
Oh, God.
And like that's where we were when it hit, but we didn't feel it.
Were you with a great outdoor explorer, or were you with a poet?
I was with a poet, but he's a former paratrooper and a poet.
Okay, good. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was a paratrooper.
Oh, okay.
But he's a good poet, very fantastic poet, and a funny comedian.
Catherine, any near-death experiences in your life? Have you ever seen your life flash before your eyes?
I started to shake my head, but I've absolutely had that happen. On my birthday, like last year, maybe 2 years ago, I don't remember, but I was coming back from a comedy festival, and I was driving into Denver to fly out of Denver. From Vail, and it started to snow just like a little bit, and I was like, this is fine, whatever. And I'm not a good driver by anyone's standards. Okay. Yeah. And I know that about myself.
Yeah,
and
be honest.
And then we're like on the top of a mountain, and I just see like semis are stopped, cars are just like sideways. And I was like, oh, this is bad, probably. And then, you know.
And you're coming down from Vail back to Denver?
Yeah, from Vail to Denver.
That's so scary. Bad. That's like
there's
a
no
that
railing.
Road is
no,
very
there's
steep.
There are parts of the mountain that have railings, and then other ones where they went, ah, this one doesn't need it. And I was at a part where the people were like, no, they'll be fine. And I was not fine. I couldn't get a grip. Scary. And that's so like so my scary. Car like spun out, and then I was near the edge. And and I was, you know, hyperventilating, and then I called my stepdad because I didn't want to worry my mom.
Yes.
I called.
That's nice.
And I was like, okay, so. And then I just immediately lost all of my shit and started crying. Mm-hmm. And he, not really understanding how to help, just woke my mom up. And
Good.
Which was correct, honestly. And my mom to this day was like, you're very good in a crisis because you listen to whatever the other person is telling you to do versus like trying to logically get out of it in any way. I was just like, I'll do whatever you say I should do. And we were
flip
in
the car upside down, use it as a slip, slide down the side of the mountain.
Yeah. I was like, whatever you say I'm doing. And and that situation, we were on the phone kind of with her, and she was trying not to lose her shit, and I could tell she had like the mom calm voice of being like, okay, so I'm gonna need you, because she's trying not to cry. And and we were in that situation for just over an hour. Then people.
So you were still driving down. You were still driving
down. Yeah, trying to get traction and then not getting traction. And then the goal was just to get me from the farthest lane to like closer to the mountain versus the edge of the mountain.
Yeah.
But also not to hit another car, because we're all in the same situation. Like, most people didn't have traction. Some people were like getting out of their car and putting like chains on their, and I'm like, I don't even understand what that is. I don't know.
My car doesn't have chains on the tires.
I rented this car, so I was like, I don't even know what kind of car I'm in.
Yeah. It's a red car. It's got at least three tires. I had the same exact thing happen on the same exact stretch of 70 from Vail to Denver, and it was the most scared I've ever been as an adult.
Yeah.
Same exact thing. Got caught in like a flash blizzard, had no chains, and was in a rental car, and was like, I could see the edge. And when you're going the way we're talking about, which I guess is east, if you're on the outside lane, the slow lane, you're on the side of the mountain.
Yeah.
And trucks are, so I got behind tractor trailer that was going very slow, and I put blinkers on and rode 5 feet behind that guy and just rode in his, where he was making like traction marks. So it was so scary. I was like flop sweat, radio off, like just holding the wheel, being like, this could be it, dummy. This could be it.
This might be, I might die. And it was my birthday. I was like, I might die on my birthday. And my mom had, she was supposed to fly into, I was flying out of Denver into LA to move out of the apartment that I had shared with my ex-fiance.
Oh, no.
Great.
Oh, my God.
Awesome.
That was what happened right before that?
That's what was happening right after that, if I survived, which I did. So then I did get to, you know, my treat.
Move
my
out.
Little treat.
A new start.
Your reward. Yeah. Yeah. I survived. Now I have the torture of existence.
That's right.
Like sliding in a car, I think is one. It's the scariest because it happens so slowly.
Yes,
where you're going, oh no, and there's no thing you can do, and it feels so powerless. Oh, it's the worst feeling.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'll tease us here.
I'll tease us into some shout outs.
What do we got?
So many. Jesus.
What do we got? Okay, you know what? This is just an easy, fun one.
Why make it hard? It's Valentine's Day.
Yeah. ChatGPT Candy Hearts. That's all I'm telling you. Hey, Bananimals. Are you looking to learn a new language? Do you got learn a new language on your bucket list? A lot of people do. So if that's you, make this year the year you check it off your list with Babbel.
Do not pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't work. They don't help you speak the language, but Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start learning a new language in as little as 3 weeks. All of Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, and rooted in real-life situations. And a college student even found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to doing a full semester at college.
I do Babbel with my six-year-old.
Yes.
She is in a dual immersion school, so we do it, you know, at, like every night, every other night when we can do it, we'll sit down for 10, 15 minutes and we'll do Babbel together, and it helps me, you know, because right now she's essentially learning a secret language that that I do not understand that she'll be able to communicate in, and so this is one way for I use to try and keep up with her, and it is so easy to use and it's so fun to use. I highly recommend it.
Here's a special limited time deal for our Bananimals. Right now, you can get 50% off a one-time payment for lifetime Babbel subscriptions, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/bananas. Get 50% off babbel.com/bananas, spelled babbel.com/bananas. Rules and restrictions may apply. I have so many shout-outs, but
sounds
I'm going
to
do four. Carrie Ann wants to shout out her straight A 11-year-old Bananimal. 11-year-old listens to Bananas, Anna G.
This I has feel been so a... bad about all the drug stories now.
Yes.
No, educational. Educational.
Educational.
It's good to hear both sides of the argument. This has been a big year for Anna. She started sixth grade and started listening to Bananas and is crushing both. She
nice.
Got a 4.0 on her report card. And
right
Anna's
on.
Parents got her Bananas merch for Christmas.
Oh, hell yeah, Anna.
So, Anna, thanks for being the coolest sixth grader in San Francisco.
Guess what? I'm a takeaway Les Boyd's Banana of the Week. Screw that guy.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it to Anna. Anna's Banana of the Week. Anna Banana of the Week.
And yeah, Carrie Ann, DM us. We'll send you some stuff.
Hell yeah.
Jeremy Snook sent this one so long ago. Jeremy, I apologize. Jeremy wants to shout himself out for finally making his first album of his own original songs and music. He released the album for free online, and he did it all by himself. He bought
nice.
Cheap microphones. He recorded in his place. And he feels such a sense of pride and accomplishment. So if you want to support Jeremy and check out his music,
yes.
you can go to his Instagram, which is Jeremy Snook Songwriter on Instagram. And that's S-N-O-O-K Songwriter. And give it a listen. Way to go,
Jeremy. Listen.
You it achieved nice. Your goal.
Congratulations. Go listen, everybody. It was recorded on cheap microphones.
Yes. Like this podcast.
Like this podcast. All great things are on cheap microphones. Actually, Catherine has a very nice microphone.
You do.
You really do. Thank you. Yeah.
Have you ever recorded
Somebody got it for me,
album?
So I can't.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn, that's cool.
Real treat.
I know.
Anna Vacato wants to shout out her father, Mario.
Mario.
I guess it's Mario Vacato. He really loves reading the news and sending the whole family daily articles. And Anna's been trying to get Mario, handsome, intelligent, vigorous Mario, my words, not his daughter's, to listen to Bananas. And she's hoping this shout out will finally do it. Mario,
you gotta
we
listen.
Do dumb news, bud. Send it to your friends. Send it to us. And last but not least. This is a nice one. Catherine with a K wants to shout out her friend Brian, who is one of the best and kindest humans. He's talked openly about his struggles with alcoholism and has now landed his dream job. Catherine is so proud of him and says, in college, Brian would always say goodbye by saying, have an auspicious day. And now he's living an auspicious life. So
Yay.
Keep having an auspicious life, Brian, and stay sober.
Yeah.
Dry 69 it if you have to.
Dry 69 it, folks.
That's it, Curdy B.
Thank you so much, Scotty. And of course, we are here with the fantastic and fantabulous and wonderful Catherine McCafferty. You can watch her new digital series, Pretty Gay, right now on Patreon.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm.
How's your stand-up going? You feeling good about it these days?
Oh, what a question. I'm going to Edinburgh this
yes,
summer
for
that. The Edinburgh Fringe Festival, and so
congrats.
Yeah, so
you've
I'm
gone
like
before, right?
I went last year and did like the free fringe for just 7 days because you can do kind of like a truncated run. And I would recommend if you are taking a show to Edinburgh, go do the free fringe first. It was a great experience. And also you just get exposed to kind of what the festival is. But I'm going to go for the full month this summer with a one-woman show. And it kind of incorporates just all my stand-up from the past, like, 8 years.
So that's exciting.
A lot of writing, a lot of I'm excited to, like, to do it. I've been working on it for so long that now I hate it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's about that. Yeah. Now it's about finding the life in it again.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And learning.
Well, new audiences.
And,
yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and also, like, the fact that you'll be doing it so much, you can start improvising in between the little cracks. Yeah. And it'll just become, by the end, it'll be something that you're so, so, so proud of.
Yeah. Have you ever done the festival? Have you guys ever?
I've done it many, many times. Yeah. I've done it about 5 years. Scotty came out once. Okay. And
we did a live pilot recording once. Yeah. We did, Kurt and Kristen did a live show in a theater with British guests in character. And we wrote a whole hour-long show.
I don't think we understood.
Yeah.
We didn't understand it.
No, people were like, do this. And we're like, oh, okay. It was very much like, I don't know what's happening.
That feels like fringe, though. That feels like the perfect, you know, you're just over there being a clown. And you're like,
it killed, though. The show did great. Kurt and Kristen were amazing. And they still didn't pick it up. And we had three comedians, character comics, and the idea was Kurt and Kristen hosted like a chat show, and then character comedians would come on in character, and we'd sort of interview and do bits with them. And like, we tried to switch some things up and write some material, and those three comics stuck to their fucking script, like their own script and their own character, so hard that it was just like Kurt said, we were kind of like, okay, we'll just do this twice, and the crowd seems to enjoy it. We don't know what's going on in our own show. But Kurt and I lived together in Edinburgh for a couple weeks and had a great time. It was so fun.
It's so fun.
Of course, every time I've ever gone, we've maybe had, out of 30 days, had one day of not rain. And so the 2 weeks we were there with Scotty, fucking sunny and 75 every single day. And he kept just going, I love this weather. This is the best. Always sunny in Edinburgh. That's what they say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, classically known for the sun.
Get used to it. Well, fun. I am glad I asked that question then, because that's a good answer.
Oh, can I ask one more question? Because I've never done the free fringe. And like, do people come? Do people come to the free fringe?
Yeah, we had like a crazy good turnout because I split the hour with Ellery Smith, who's a stand-up. Okay. And
yeah, she's funny.
And yeah, and she's actually one of the guests also. I'm Pretty Gay. And and so we had no expectations. We were in the basement of a burrito shack. And we were like, if one person comes, amazing. But because of our time, and I think it was like around lunchtime, and the Free Fringe does have like an app now, and a lot of people will just like look up shows last minute. We had like a steady group of like 10 to 15 people every afternoon.
That's great.
In the basement of a burrito shack.
So yeah.
I would say they have much better venues than that. Like Claire Wallner, who's a very funny clown, she had sold out shows and she did the Free Fringe. She had a great venue because it was like in a bar at 11 p.m. So she would just go into the bar and be like, come see my show. And then people would.
Yeah.
That's great. That's so fun. If you guys ever have a chance to go, it's an intense and insane place to be. 400 shows, I think, in 30 days. It's like Looney Tunes.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
All right. Here it is. This is easy and sweet. This is from 2020 because now they would nail these. Yeah. This was so in 2020, they used ChatGPT-2, which was the idiot stepbrother of ChatGPT 3 and 4 that's out now that are like, you know, gonna eventually
kill us,
get
all
rid of us. Get rid of writers in general. So
fine. I'm ready.
These are wonderful, though. They're a real treat. This is for Valentine's Day. It's short, simple, and sweet.
That's right.
Here we go. I'm just going to read a bunch. These are all candy hearts, and they printed them up and made them, which is really great.
That's nice.
These are all created by ChatGPT, too. Fart Booby.
So sweet.
That's the first
one. Sweet.
It's so sweet. Another one just says buns, buns, buns.
Well, now
that's good.
Candy hole.
My nickname in middle school.
Mouthy hamster.
That's pretty good.
Horse loop. Dancing on a loaf. Beans. One is just beans. And it looks beautiful on they should make these. I don't know why they haven't. It's so crazy.
Oh, it would sell out in a second.
Yeah. It got me. I couldn't say it. This was woof hoof hoof. Which actually it does kind of sound like a version of Hubba Hubba or something like that. Something you'd say, woof, woof, woof. So it's woof up top, and then hoof, hoof is one word below it.
Man. God, I wish I didn't already have a production company name, because woof, hoof, hoof productions. People are like, do we pitch to them?
Oh, that's so good.
Woof, woof, woof.
I'll just do a couple more. Okay, bro.
Perfect.
That would
the
work.
The end. Fight, fight,
the
fight.
End?
Yeah, the end. Just
nice.
Beautiful.
That's a good way to break up with someone on Valentine's Day.
And I think the most accurate one from a lot of people out there, mild feel. and that was sent in. That, of course, was sent in by Boston Adrian. Thank you, Boston.
Boston Adrian. God, that's so funny.
And that was, I found it on Nerdist, but it was all over the internet.
Yeah, I don't know why. That would do better than any of the other ones. I know they did like dumb ones this year. I can't remember what it was, but they did do like intentionally. Oh, maybe they were breakup ones this year. And everybody was like, oh, awesome. This is something new. But honestly, just let AI run wild with them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, please. I don't know why they haven't made those.
Gosh, I don't either.
Send us home, Scotty.
Okay, let's see. This was sent in by Sav Harv. Thank you, Sav Harv. This is another nice one. This is just a pleasant episode.
What a great episode.
Love it.
An enigmatic man who lived frugally left his New Hampshire town millions of dollars they never knew he had.
Wow, okay.
This is such a long story, Bananimals. I'm not going to do the whole thing, but if you want to read this feel-good story, it was on NBC News, and it was written by the Associated Press, who are very good at what they do. Hinsdale, New Hampshire. Jeffrey Holt was an unassuming caretaker of a mobile home park in Hinsdale, New Hampshire, where he lived a simple but curious life. Residents would see Holt around town in threadbare clothes, riding his lawnmower, headed to the convenience store, parked along the main road, reading newspapers or just watching cars pass.
Okay.
He did odd jobs for others and rarely left town. Despite having taught driver's ed to high schoolers, Holt had given up driving a car and opted for a bicycle and then finally a riding lawnmower.
Oh.
I mean, this guy is so good. His mobile home in the park was mostly empty of furniture, no TV, no computer either, and the legs of his bed went through the floor.
Wow. Okay. That's a lot of rodents coming into your house.
Talk about
at night.
Woof, hoof, hoof. Yeah. He said he had everything he wanted, but he didn't want. Oh, he said he seemed to have everything he wanted, but didn't want much, said Edwin Smokey Smith, Holt's best friend and former employer. When Holt died earlier this year, he died with a secret. He was a multimillionaire. And what's more, he gave it all away to his community of 4,200 people. His brief will instructions said that his $3.8 million were to go to the town of Hinsdale to benefit the community in areas of education, health, recreation, and culture.
That's so sweet.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
You don't need a ladder for your towels. You just save that money.
Thank you.
Give
Put them on the floor. Put your towels on the floor like a normal millionaire would do. I don't think anyone had any idea he was that successful, said Steve DiOrio, chairperson of the town's select board. I'm just saying words. Who occasionally would wave to Holt from his car. Nice.
<Yeah.
laughs> I know he didn't have a whole lot of family, but nonetheless, to leave it to the whole town where he lived, it's a tremendous gift. He is Jeffrey Holt has entered power banana step.
This is rare, but this is power bananas. I agree 100%. And it also reminds me, do you have more to the story?
No, I can add more, but just keep going. I like that you're reminded.
My mom, so there was a dude who worked, so my mom was a pediatric nurse. She worked on the pediatric floor of Monmouth Medical in Long Branch, New Jersey
for
30 years or something. And there was a man who I kind of like grew up on the pediatric floor because my mom is a single mom. She wouldn't have like somebody to watch me on the weekends. I would just go to work with her if she had to work on Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah.
And there was always a dude who was very friendly to me who was the janitor, Mr. Nagy. And Mr. Nagy was there for, I don't know, like 30 years. He was checklist. I guess he was from Yugoslavia before the Czech Republic came into existence. Mm-hmm. And he was an immigrant from Yugoslavia and lived by himself and lived incredibly frugally in the same way. And it was like 10, like when my mom was leaving the hospital, she went and started working for a doctor across the street. She looked at like she was fine, like Mr. Nagy just seemed confused or something. She went down and like talked to HR about it, and they're like, he hasn't worked here, like he has not gotten a paycheck from us in the last 5 years. He just continues to come to work, and like he was getting a pension from the hospital, but he was just like, this is what I do, I go to work. And was like living incredibly frugally. Nice. My mom ended up taking care of him and like getting him into a like assisted living facility because he was like living in not great conditions and everything. And then visited him like almost every other day, like brought him stuff and all that sort of stuff. And then when she died, he had like $600,000 in his bank account that he just had never ever touched.
Wow.
And of course he didn't donate it to anybody. It just like literally went to the state.
Not a great ending.
The three of us would have taken that off his hands very quickly. But that's a lovely story. Man, what a pleasant episode of Bananas this was.
It is. Such a delight.
It really is.
Catherine, where can they find you? Where can they plug? Like, what's your socials? What's your stuff?
Yeah, they can find me online at Catherine with a C _ McCaff.
Yeah.
Again, great at marketing.
Yeah, I said, I don't need the full name.
They'll find me.
I said, why?
I got six of the letters in there.
We could do this _ thing and we'll shorten the whole jammer.
It's just C _M_. They'll find me online.
They'll figure it out. No. It's just numbers. @numbers.
I can't. You got to go with Catty Mac Mac. That's what I would say for your next handle. Catty Mac Mac.
So I named my phone Mac Daddy, which to me makes total sense. But now, like, if anybody in any context that doesn't know me super well wants to like airdrop me, it's a story.
Yeah, it sure is. Well, thanks for coming on Bananas. Everybody check out Pretty Gay.
Go right now. Run. Don't walk. Thank you so much, Catherine.
Thank you. Thank you. You guys are delightful.
You are. Come back anytime. Bananas. I like bananas. Bananas is an Exactly Right Media production.
Our producer and engineer is Katie Levine.
The catchy Bananas theme song was composed and performed by Kahan.
Artwork for Bananas was designed by Travis Millard.
And our benevolent overlords are the great Karen Kilgariff and Georgia Hardstark.
And Lisa Maggot is our full human, not a robot intern.
Bananas.